Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast. If I had a pound for every time I'd said that, I'd have £218. Coming up on this week's show, sexy textbooks. Yes, Apple drags Tricolore and first aid in English. That's what the kids use, yeah? Into the 21st century. Wikipedia goes offline. That'll be why the kids need those textbooks again. And RIM boots out its two top execs. Plus, final confirmation of an Xbox 720. Sort of. All that and more with my co-host, the lovely Ree Morgan, and freshly recovered from his terminal illness, it's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing, Dunk?
I'm on a drip.
Yeah, he's not looking too great.
I should point out that I'm coming to you from afar once more.
Yeah,
I'm so up in lovely Salford.
You can't see that I'm on a...
I'm actually
a gurney.
Next,
is that what they're called?
Yeah,
those like beds with wheels on.
Yeah, to Dunk's hospital bed. We've got some grapes. Seems to be helping a bit.
Yeah, well, I was raring to go on Friday, and then Ree was on holiday, and the terrible news came from Duncan.
Yeah, that he was poorly.
Yeah, I didn't know Ree was on holiday because
I didn't until Friday morning.
I was one of those holidays.
No. I'd had booked it
Duvet
in,
day,
but then
eh?
I'd forgotten, and then I woke up, and then I was like, oh, I've got holidays.
That's crazy. How can you forget about a holiday? Actually, that's
I
pretty
only
cool,
booked
though.
It on Monday.
Well, that's such a great feeling. That's like finding a tenner in a pair of jeans you haven't worn for ages.
It was.
Like you wake up, oh, I've got to go to work, do the podcast with Dan.
Wait a minute.
I don't.
Hallelujah.
So, Dan, apart from your illness, how was your week?
Well, I'll tell you what's been sickening me, Dan, is once again we see the sickening forces of oppression looking to crush the working man under an iron hoof.
Wow.
Good.
Terrible week.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to talk briefly about Soper and Pippa. That's the IP Protection Act. Yeah. How you get Pippa from that. Protect IP Act. That's it. Yeah. That's slightly. And then what's Soper again? Something else Protection Act, obviously.
Something online, isn't it? Is it online?
Yeah. Stop online pissing about. I think that's what it's
Again,
for.
Research into our...
I just had to... Anyway, those two bills. It's. I do think people should oppose them because they do seem to involve a lot of sort of unnecessary surveillance and being able to shut down people's websites on the say-so of anybody who doesn't happen to like them. But it is always terrible. Like anything to do with the internet, it's just impossible to have a reasoned debate about it. It's because all the people on the one side, well, a lot of them make perfectly well-reasoned arguments about, well, the only way you could make these acts work is by having a ridiculous level of surveillance, and they seem kind of, at the very least... sort of unbalanced, if not unconstitutional, if you're an American type.
Mm.
But on the other hand, there are also a lot of people who are like, no, we have to stop this bill because it means we won't be able to illegally download stuff.
Yeah.
And we, it is in our First Amendment rights, say that we must be able to download as much free stuff as we want and never ever pay for anything ever.
We've had it free before. Why are you taking it away from us now?
It's like, this is how the Nazis got started. You know, they started by saying, well, you can't just download copyrighted material because it actually, you know, somebody's paid a lot of money to make it and they're sort of, that's how they earn their living. So you can't necessarily just steal their stuff.
No.
You know, that's how the Nazis got started.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think
the opposition is, I mean, from Wikipedia and people like that, they're sort of saying, look, we can't police everything that goes on our websites, and if someone links to copyrighted stuff,
this
bill would shut us down essentially.
Well, except they always take the absolute kind of worst case scenario, and it's interesting because nobody on either side seems to have any particular, like the people who are proposing the bill, a lot of them don't seem to have any understanding of the internet or any. Because there was a guy, I read a quote.
You're suggesting old American senators are somehow out of touch with modern day technology?
Well, they can at least take advice. Because the classic line for me was some guy, one of the sponsors of the bill, he said, we're not talking about shutting down something like YouTube, you know, because people will still be able to upload their, you know, clips of cats falling over or whatever. You know, we're not going after a site that doesn't have lots of copyright material on it. I'm like, what, YouTube? Pretty half of YouTube is copyright material, like more music, funnily enough, than films. But like people upload songs all the time to YouTube.
And music videos.
Yeah, both the videos and just like the audio with like a little picture of the record going around. So he doesn't even know like what he's talking about in terms of what they should be trying to shut down.
Let's not have knowing what you're talking about being a precursor for talking about
technology.
Well,
that's true. That would set a dangerous precedent.
Well, yeah,
we'd have to shut this place, shut down the podcast for a start.
Excellent, Doug. Well, thank you very much for that. But there have been other happenings this week. Apple held a special event on the 19th. We knew it would be educational, but just what would be unveiled? Well, here's the problem that Apple boffins set their minds to.
In general, I have to say education is in the dark ages. No fundamental changes have occurred in 150 years.
It's very difficult to be a teacher and it's very difficult to be a student when resources are not available, when class sizes are 40 plus, when buildings are in disrepair.
We just need a reset. We need to find out what's wrong and find a way to fix it.
What's the solution? New textbooks?
So how does the book actually stack up? Let's go through a list of some of the features. First, portable. Well, sure, a book's portable until you had to carry 3 or 4 or 5 of them around, and kids will tell you they're not really that portable. They're not that durable if paper and binding has to last for years through many children. They're not interactive. They're not searchable. An author can't update the content once they've been handed out to the student. But the content is great. There are amazing learning companies that strive so hard to update the content, create great materials for students. They just can't get them out to everyone quickly enough.
That's right. Books are shit. What we need are shiny new iBooks. The answer from Apple. Thank goodness for Apple. Where would we be without them, guys?
It's true. They've identified a problem we didn't even
know we had. I'd have a back problem because of all the books I carry around.
Yeah, so what do we make of this exciting announcement?
Exciting? Is that... did you use that?
This is a revolution in education, Ree.
It's not, though, is it?
Surely it's just taking what's already existing and being used for entertainment purposes and just saying, oh, actually, we could use this for educational textbooks as well.
Are they going to give iPads to everyone, then?
Well, the idea of them is... I mean, their basic point is that they've... Okay, they've made improvements in iBook 2 and textbooks now come in. And you can kind of see the theory because, you know, you buy a textbook and it's out of date soon enough with an iBook
in
textbook.
In certain cases.
Yeah, they can consolidate it and it can be interactive and all this kind of stuff.
Well,
I'd question the benefit of that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, I mean, of course, you can see the benefits of electronic publishing of all sorts of things, but I think possibly Apple are over-egging it a tad.
Yeah, especially in this category. Changing education hasn't changed in 150 years. Well, that's not true.
And also, I mean, well, it's because people's brains haven't really changed in 150 years. No. It's not like, until Apple can literally upload knowledge into my mind, I don't know if it's necessarily all that useful. And I mean, what are we going to suddenly discover something new about what Shakespeare was going on about in Hamlet or whatever?
Yeah, you can have updated it.
Although there are uses for it. Go on.
In this country, if teaching, as I remember, is anything to go by, you don't have to buy books for everyone. You just buy one and photocopy it hundreds of times.
Yeah, that's what you do.
As opposed to, you have to buy an iPad for every child.
Yeah, and that's also ridiculous. I don't know that, you know, the children of the developed world or the underdeveloped world have got, you know, curvature of the spine from years of having to lug around these. I don't know what sort of textbooks the people who worked at Apple had to use. Like sort of 10,000 words sort of printed on really, really thick paper and then bound in metal or something.
And
I never found them that heavy.
And also, well, how long... These textbooks, surely they're going to have to go and be made electronically now. Like, who's... That's going to take ages, isn't it?
Well, they've put out some new software and it's free, which is a good thing. And essentially it's meant to be very easy now to create these super-duper iBooks. Let's have a listen to what these iBooks can actually do.
When I see a glossary term I don't understand, I can just tap on it to get the definition right there. If I want to jump to the whole book's glossary or the book's whole glossary, I just tap on that button. And now we have all the glossary terms here. I can flip from term to term. We have movies and images for the terms. We also have index links back into the book. So if I want to learn more about a particular subject, I just tap, I go straight to the appropriate place in the book. That is so much better than a paper index, or a paper glossary, I should say, could ever hope to be.
So that's not a bad thing, is it? I mean, an interactive glossary, you don't know the meaning of something, you click on the word, bang, you're in the glossary.
Yeah, it is useful. I mean, but presumably if Apple Is Apple going to be opening this this technology up so that you can look at it on any device? Like, say, could you look at it on a very inexpensive tablet made by a third party?
Such as Amazon.
They're doing that.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking, because it's quite
handy.
They're not.
So you have to go and buy a load of bloody iPads for all your kids.
Yeah, you've got to go and buy a load of iPads. And I think it's quite canny what they've done is, essentially, this is all proprietary, isn't it, really? So
how unusual for Apple.
They're normally
sharing.
Open.
If someone writes a book, it's easy enough to publish it in any country and all this kind of thing. But on this, you have to create it in Apple's software. And then presumably, you know, you can't then export it to Android or Kindle Fire or anything like that. So, A, it's tying
schools
in.
I suppose you could if you put your mind to it.
And it's tying publishers in.
I think that's what Apple is quite... if they were generally interested in sort of democratizing education, I think there's probably more democratic ways that they could do it.
Yeah, they could have been... I imagine if, say, the Bill Gates Foundation was doing this, it would be a more, you know, it would use Microsoft's technology, but in a more open way, I guess. I mean, it was quite interesting. Apple's stocks hit record highs on this announcement. A single share now valued at $431.
Yeah, I can't say I'm surprised, because it is a bit like, we're coming money for your children. That's,
we've got our eye on the future.
Yeah.
They believe that children are the future. Upload data to their minds and see them
There's
grow.
Plenty more where that came from. So let me say, here is the news. Wikipedia UK. I was shut down for 24 hours last week, joining websites going offline in protest over US anti-piracy laws. Executive Director Sue Gardner called it a decision that wasn't lightly made, saying it was the first time the English-speaking Wikipedia had ever staged a public protest of this nature.
It's all changed at RIM. Co-CEOs Jim Balsillie and Mike Lazaridis have been forced out of their roles. Little-known company insider Thorsten Heinz has been moved in. This after RIM was looking to flog the BlackBerry brand to Samsung. Sadly, Samsung said it's not interested.
Resident Evil 6 is now official, with a release trailer showing off some of the incredibly complex-looking plot and some of the gameplay. It'll hit shops on the 20th of November on all major consoles. However, no word on whether a PC version will be available.
Call of Duty developer Infinity Ward has sparked rumours of an upcoming console with a new job listing. The ad for a senior animator to work on the 10th Call of Duty release request candidate with experience in game development and an interest in working with next-generation technology. The game's due out at the end of 2013.
Xbox 720.
Yes.
It must be.
It's gotta be.
Keeping the gaming theme going, Nintendo has shown off a previously unseen party piece of its upcoming Nintendo Wii U. The demo shows the screen-clad controller giving players wraparound views of their virtual worlds. Gamers can quickly look left, right, and behind them by moving the controller around.
And finally, a Hong Kong manufacturer has halted manufacture of a Steve Jobs doll. The eerily detailed 12-inch action figure has been canned by In Icons after immense pressure from the lawyers of Apple and Steve Jobs. Family.
And the readers of the Daily Telegraph.
That doll was pretty spooky.
That was the
it
one
was
that,
horrible. That's the one that Duncan,
the guy wanted to poo on.
Yeah. Ooh, dear me.
And now Apple has, as figuratively.
Yeah.
Lovely. Time to see then what you've been tweeting to at T3DOTCOM and posting on the official T3 podcast Facebook group. Look us up. Dunk, what have you got?
Leon Fenner says, so they got an inside guy to handle the head RIM job. Will they finally get into bed with Google? Very good. A plus, Leon. You have learned well from our sophisticated humour that we have on this podcast.
Punnerific. It's sort of... I don't know how significant this stuff is at RIM this week.
It's pretty significant for Stan Lazaridis, isn't it? Like, he sort of set the company, he's had to go away because he's turned it into such a disaster area.
Yeah. I think it
I mean, well, the same
thing
happened to Steve Jobs eventually, of course, and then he came back. But
I don't think Mike Lazaridis is the same as Steve Jobs.
And Steve Jobs, when he left, wasn't the CEO.
They are in dire straits. I mean, basically, the playbook has done for them, really, hasn't it? It's,
I don't think it's just the playbook. I think it's just the complete absence of any... any attempt to get with the program as the smartphone market's changed around them.
They're just stuck in the mud, haven't they?
Yeah, they've done neither one thing nor the other. They haven't concentrated on their core thing of, like, you know, big kind of slab-like handsets with nice keyboards on. But they also haven't managed to get to grips with the smartphone thing at all.
Yeah, the whole apps. They haven't got hold of apps. They seem to be Windows had a problem with it, and then... But I think BlackBerry even worse.
Yeah, well, Microsoft has tons of money. It can pour problems. But, I mean, the last sort of act of Jim and Mike seemed to be to try and flog off BlackBerry, but... As we mentioned in the news, even Samsung saying it's not interested.
Well, I suppose they would say, well, thanks very much, but we've already done a load of handsets that rip off your sort of more better-known handsets. So we don't require the... Yeah, we don't have to go back to the source. We can just knock up our own.
Yeah, but the, I imagine that's what he said. Thorsten Heinz, he's basically saying, from what he's saying... I don't think splitting up the company is now in the cards. He wants to make them, you know, a top three handset manufacturer again. And
I love that,
you
top know,
he
three.
He reckons that can be done in
I'm
a few years.
I'm going to put us back where we belong, in the number three spot. Now, that's ambition, isn't it?
Yeah. You know? Aim high.
Well, that, I mean, it would be an achievement, though, wouldn't it? I mean, when you've got people like Apple, Microsoft, and Google to fight against,
I suppose. I mean,
being number three is not a bad thing.
But correct me if I'm wrong, surely they still are number three, aren't they? It's something, unless things have gone even more wrong. So, in fact, his ambition is merely to remain in the number three spot, which is where they are anyway.
I don't think they are going mad now. I have a
sneaking suspicion.
Not even in terms of hardware.
Well,
somebody like HTC's overtaken them or something.
I think Samsung.
I'm sure Android as a whole must have well overtaken them, but I don't. Oh, yeah, Samsung, HTC might have done, I suppose.
Apple,
obviously, yeah.
Well, maybe he means
so they're fourth,
in that
so they're looking to get back to three. Oh, Nokia are still bigger. We always forget that Nokia actually do sell handsets in the third world.
Yeah, I think they're less fortunate people. I think.
But given that most people's predictions for BlackBerry and RIM are oblivion, then that would be an achievement.
Yeah. Still existing. Yeah, I suppose so. Heinz means phones. I think that should be their new slogan from now on.
Brilliant. Definitely.
Copyright that. Leon also adds, we're expecting the pod Monday or Tuesday, and will it come with a formal apology?
Yes and no, respectively.
There we are. Ree, what have you got?
I apologise for being on holiday.
I got actually lots more of reaction to the absence of the pod on Friday due to Dunk's illness. Dale Collins, I'd love to replace one of them. The lack of microphone may hinder this slightly.
We do supply microphones. We don't each have our own that we bring.
We don't have to all bring in our own microphones. The only reason we're allowed to do the podcast is we're the only three people at Future who own microphones.
It's like, oh, Dunk's forgot his mic this week.
Oh, no, you'll have to get one from the Lost and Found box.
Or just, have to get one from the Skeggy bin.
Yeah. You have to do it in my pants if I forget my microphone.
Dale Collins says, I'd love... No, that's
you've
what
done
you're
that
before.
One. You've done that.
Oh, maybe Dale should come in next week. Adam Robbins, tell Duncan to man up.
That's a fair point.
Oh, Katie Heath. Oh, it's my birthday today too. Happy birthday, Katie, for Friday.
Oh, we've ruined it.
Yep. And then Andrew
so
that's Story.
That's ruined her birthday, the absence of
her. Sorry. Andrew Story, but if there's no Friday pod, how will I know that the weekend has started? This does not bode well at all. Start the weekend now. Just tell
that's my
tell
mate,
work.
Andrew Story.
Yeah, just say you're not coming in on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Did you have a...
Yeah, no, it's my mate. He used to work at the Caribbean, and he was our only Caribbean listener.
Oh, did you know it was the weekend? But you went to meet him over the weekend, and he just completely forgot because he thought, it can't be Saturday or Sunday.
No, I didn't see him at the weekend. I have no idea how it went. Oh, dear. He may not even be here now. Could have been that bad.
That anecdote fell flat.
Timothy Okonowu, so I have the Starbucks app on my iOS with my loyalty card added so I can pay for my lattes and mochas using the barcode number unique to me on my iPhone. This thing is amazing! No cash or cards, just a quick scan and you get your receipt. If this is what NFC is like, I say bring it on in the next gen of iPhones. You see?
Yeah, it's like sort of...
The world is coming round to my view.
You're? Really?
I like the fact that Apple have basically... Well, maybe Starbucks have, to be fair, but it's like a sort of Apple-specific version of NFC.
Yeah.
That uses different technology and is slightly clunkier.
Let's use this barcode from the 1960s or something that was invented.
But having it on your phone, I got a big thrill on the Heathrow Express last year because I used it as my ticket. I was like, can you scan my phone? Because I haven't bothered to print it out. And they were like, yes.
Brilliant.
Fantastic.
Well, yeah, I'm all for near field communication and mobile payments and all this kind of business.
Good. Good.
I'm in favour of communication in general.
Yeah.
Near fields, far away fields, French fields.
Yeah. Over
farmers fields.
Corn fields.
Yeah.
Miss fields.
Thank you.
If you're a cricket fan.
Yeah. Protected
anyway,
fields.
Anyway,
Sally fields.
Yourself. What
Green
have we
fields.
Got for our...
Sorry.
Shut up.
Strawberry
what
fields.
What have we got for our Gadget of the Week?
this week.
What have you brought to the table?
Is it field-related?
It's field, yeah. It's actually a field. Just a big field.
Virtual field.
No, it is actually the Azusa Transformer Prime. I know you've had it before, but this time it's got ice cream sandwich on it, so I got to play.
You've surpassed yourself this time, Ray. I know we had this last week.
No, it wasn't. Because last week I had it and I didn't have ice cream sandwich on it.
I know it does.
This week it has ice cream sandwich, so I got to play with the first tablet to have ice cream sandwich on.
Oh, I'm a bit gutted that I'm not there to have a play with that.
It's not actually here, Dan.
It's all right, you're not missing out.
I played with it last week. But it is actually in the office, but I haven't got it. Yeah, but
it was here on Friday.
This is a nice thing, isn't it?
Pardon?
This is a nice thing.
Yeah, it was really... Yeah, it was... It did feel... It wasn't like majorly different from Honeycomb or... It wasn't majorly different, but... And it wasn't majorly different to what I saw on the Nexus, which had ice cream sandwich on it. But it just had a few nice touches on it. Things like the unlock screen, you can either go to the homepage, you can go straight to the camera. It's got some nice browser tweaks. You can opt to either look at the mobile browser or you can look at the full desktop version, or you can save for offline browsing. So if you haven't got internet, you can look at a web page when you're offline. And just like little bits that you kind of thought, oh yeah. Like the weird... Go on.
This is sort of fast becoming the geek's iPad rival, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're a geek and you don't like Apple, it seems to be that people are straying towards this. I don't think it's going to sell by bucket loads, but it's almost like people in the know.
I think it'll do very well. It's the most pre-ordered tablet ever. Well, sorry, most pre-ordered non-iPad tablet
non-Apple.
Ever.
Non-Apple, yeah.
At the big kind of high street stores.
Well, I think Ice Cream Sandwich will do well. I think it's an update that you probably should get. And it does make it a bit, it's not like a major overhaul of Android. Just had little bits there. Like I didn't know that you couldn't take a screenshot before on an Android tablet. But this you can now. You just press a volume button down and the
thank
on button.
Thank goodness for that.
Like little bits like that on
for journalists,
sandwich.
That's incredibly
I know
useful.
What you mean. Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah.
So not for anybody else.
Well, that's what happens. Eventually you get to a point where you're just tweaking and chiseling rather than, you know.
Would you say it was evolution rather than revolution?
That's what I would say. Yes.
I wasn't asking
you, Duncan.
I would say, but it was good.
It hasn't revolved.
Yeah, but it wasn't just. You would notice the little tweaks because they do make your life easier when using a tablet, especially Android.
The integration with the
I find a little tweak makes my life easier.
Yes,
here and there.
Hey. Yeah.
Yes. Excellent. Yes. Thank you, Ree. Now, here's a question. What would happen if we switched off the internet? In the wake of the WikiLeaks shutdown, Chris Smith, late of this parish, has written a 5-page treatise on the website. We haven't got time for that, so I'll just put the question straight to you guys. What would happen if we switched off the internet?
Well, we wouldn't have education.
I don't know. What would all the bad-tempered people do? They'd have to go and fight each other in the street. I suppose
they'd
shut down...
graffiti things on the wall, maybe.
Or they might just sit at bus stops
shouting,
complaining about everything.
Maybe that's what it was like.
The main point would be, what would journalists and school students do without WikiLeaks?
Yeah, we'd have to basically shut down
without Wikipedia, rather
the media in its entirety. I guess there'd be a lot less self-abuse, and we'd need to distribute this podcast by means of, I suppose, recording it on cassette tapes and handing it out in stations.
Definitely.
Like demos.
Which might be nice.
We could have, we'd have bootleg tapes distributed at car boot sales.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. Or because they like all that sort of thing in Shoreditch and the like. Mm. It's sort of ironic enjoyment of archaic technologies.
But they can't play it anywhere. They just got a tape. They haven't got a tape player. They've got a tape.
Well, my new EP is only coming out on cassette and 8-track cartridge. I don't even know what either of those things are.
You're all right there, Ree.
Yeah. I just laughed at it.
That was so hilarious that Ree has died.
Yeah.
Literally died.
I see.
I don't know what else would happen. You'd miss out on a lot of telly because you wouldn't have on demand.
No, basically, Facebook. It would be catastrophic.
Probably. You'd just have a lot more.
So we seem to have ignored the fact that like world economies would melt.
No,
but they wouldn't because they aren't really.
Missiles would fire off.
No, but.
They're not actually on the internet, you see. They're not on the World Wide Web. They're on sealed systems. There would be obviously problems financially. No, I think mainly it would be a shame because people who are pig shit thick wouldn't have an outlet for their opinions.
Yeah.
And it would be much more difficult to get hold of porn. Yeah. But then that would be good for traditional sort of porn industries.
And I think
magazines.
You'd have much more...
A revival of Razzle.
The written word. And yeah. Literature.
And yeah. And you'd have much more facts. There's so much lies on the internet. People are like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a fact.
It's like information would be more difficult to come by, but yeah. Probably more accurate.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, things like, do you remember organising a holiday? You had to go to an estate agent, a travel agent.
Yeah, no, it was really difficult because they just show you houses.
You couldn't find out information, you know.
Yeah, but you just have no idea.
I'll ask my travel agent.
Encyclopedia Britannica.
But then sometimes...
They weren't very good on the Costa del Sol, no. Britannica.
But the thing is, convenience, you know, sometimes convenience goes too far, doesn't it? That's how the Nazis got started. They started out with, well, we want to make things convenient. And then before you knew it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, look, if you want a thought out and thorough, very thorough article on this, I do recommend it.
Even more thorough than that.
Even more thorough than that, remarkable as that may seem.
But that's about all we have time for. Remember, you can find all the latest on T3.com. T3 is on the shelves and on tablets. And you can find us every Friday, normally, on iTunes. Till next week then, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 podcast.